What a beautiful bunch of smiling faces out there. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's good to see you all here this morning. I thank you for coming. Because it's a great day. I mean, just look outside. If it was springtime, the flowers would be popping up out of the ground. And I guess the next thing is snow. Snow will probably be coming here pretty quick. I want to mention about these young men you see pop up here just after the pastor stands up and asks for somebody to come forward and help with the collection in the mornings. These four young men jump up and they come up here. They're never failing. They're always there. And they're anxious to get up here, and they're anxious to help. And I'm really thrilled with that. I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see that the young people take that much of an interest in the church and are that anxious to assist the pastor with some of the labor that has to be performed. And I thank you, young men. Now I want to get started. Now comes the bad part. I'm going to tell you a little story first. And as a result of this story, it kind of put some thoughts in my mind, and they wouldn't go away, so I just tried to build on them a little bit. What it built into is something that's very meaningful to me and should be meaningful to everyone else. And some things that we need to be very cautious of in this world that we have to deal with every day. But last September, Barry and I was driving home from Oklahoma. We was moving along the highway about 75 miles an hour. Now, that's the legal speed limit. But I noticed something quite strange out in front of us and off to the right side. We were driving in the center lane, and this truck pulling a boat on a trailer was traveling next to us. And it was, I noticed something gray on the highway rolling around under the truck, and it was a small gray kitten. It appeared to be about half grown, and it came tumbling and twisting and rolling out from under the back of the truck. And was reaching its legs and clawing and reaching at anything, trying to grab anything or something that would kind of stop it from rolling and tumbling around. He came squirting out from underneath the truck, and he went right underneath the trailer. And remember, we'd gone 75 miles an hour. That's a pretty good speed. And that's a big truck, you know, a 3/4-ton pickup. And this little kitten down there, and he was clawing. He finally got a foot on the ground, just enough to get him to his feet. And he darted off of that highway. And he ran off into the shoulder and laid down in that grass in the shade, cool and comfortable. And I think he felt pretty protected. Well, that made me think about what happened to it. Now, you know, when you're driving down the highway, your car's going along, and you're creating a vacuum under that car, or under the truck in this case. And this little kitten was small enough and fortunate enough he got out and rode far enough to miss the wheels of the truck. And thankfully he missed the wheels of the trailer too, and he's still alive. Or he was then. I don't know if he is now or not. If he's still out there along the interstate, he might be in serious trouble. But anyway, I wanted to say here, sometimes our lives get to moving quite quickly, and if we feel like we're being pulled into a vacuum, and we get confused ourselves. And it's at these times we need to be extra cautious and not allow ourselves to fall into the trap provided by Satan. Traps like temptation. Satan always offers temptations to us, and we get caught in them just like in a vacuum. And we can get drawn down and away from the security we receive from our Lord. It happens. Yes, it does. And quite often. Sometimes we allow Satan to draw us away from God so we can follow after human desires, whatever they may be, and break the bond that we've created with the Lord. We've all seen it happen. Yes, we have. Such as when a marriage breaks up, or if someone gets their feelings hurt and has and looks for some means of retaliation, or someone who leaves our church and starts going to another church. This causes a world of hurt to us and to our families, and most of all to the Lord. But I want to start with my scripture readings here today. I want to start to share with you a scripture that our brother Alan Kaufman opened the Collins Rally with this last weekend. It's in the Book of Mormon, and it's on page 651, and it's the third chapter of Nephi, third Nephi, eighth chapter. And I'm going to start with the 50th verse. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest you enter into temptation. And I think that's what this cat did, that little kitten. Was not old enough to be a cat yet, but he entered into temptation. He allowed himself to get caught in that vacuum that Satan's always got out there to snag somebody and drag him into his control. So we got to watch. We got to be cautious. You probably hear more about that here today too. For Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, you may always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, remember that, which is right, believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, you shall meet together oft, and you shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when you shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But you shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, you shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. And that was very impressive to me, the temptation part of it especially, because I'd been trying to work something up on temptation. And I just thought I'd use that, since I got it from him, that I would share it with you once again and use it for the opening portion of my sermon today, because I'm going to talk a lot about temptation and other things. I want to start with Luke. Now, these scriptures that I'm going to be bringing today aren't brand new scriptures. They've been around for a lot longer than I've been around, a lot longer than any of us have been around. The meaning is still there. The meaning that was there when it was written, it continues to be there today, and it'll be there tomorrow. But I still think it's worthy of reading, and some of them are so familiar that they get quoted quite often. But I'm going to start with Luke, 8th chapter. I want to start with verse number 4. And this is a parable of the sower. And when much people were gathered together, they were come to him out of every city, and he spake by parables. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was, And some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ear, let him hear. And the disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They are the rock. Though they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, Satan doesn't want us to believe what the Lord's telling us. That's what it tells me. He wants our soul for himself. He's selfish. He doesn't want to share us with God or with anyone else. When the word does not take root in the heart, we believe for a while, and then when the time of temptation comes, we fall away. This happens all too often, mostly because of the beckoning of the evil spirit of Satan. That's what causes that. Satan is not a little thing to talk about. It's not some figure that's off in a corner someplace that you can't see. Satan is big and powerful, and he's out there doing his dead level best to get as many people as he can away from any, away from following after Christ and doing the biddings of Christ, because he doesn't want anybody to go to heaven. He wants to have them for himself. So we have to use a lot of caution in our lives. We're told that we can be choked with cares and let the riches and pleasures of this life do the choking. We can let it ruin our chances of serving the Lord and knowing of his loving kindness. We need to develop our faith so strong that no one nor nothing can destroy it. Let me ask you, wouldn't perfection of your faith be much better to us instead of letting someone destroy your faith? Couldn't it help us get a foothold when we've been looking to help us to stop the tumbling over and over going on in our lives? And I have to use that little kitten for another example. He was over there. He had absolutely no control over his life, his limb, or anything else while he was coming out from under that truck. And that truck was going so fast, and that cat was going just about as fast as we were. But to be flailing around the way he was and to be so frightened, he couldn't do anything. You don't want to get caught in that kind of a situation. I'd like to go now over to 1 Timothy. Now I want to go to the 6th chapter. I will start with the first verse. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefits. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about, questioning and questions and strifes of word, whereof convey envying and strife and railings and evil surmisings, perverse disputings, I can't even read this morning, excuse me, of men of corrupt minds, and dispute of the truth, supposing that the gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourselves. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And anybody that thinks otherwise than that, you have a serious problem. I give thee charge, and in the sight of God, give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment which without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in the world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And they do good, and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in the store for themselves a good foundation against the times to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now that's the objective, is eternal life. That's where we're all going. That's what we all want. These words are very familiar to us because we've heard them a lot of times. You've probably heard them read a lot better times than that. But we've heard them talked about for many years. Now I want to go with 10. Did I read 10? I did, didn't I? The love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It goes on, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee from these things and follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. I think I read that. Money in and of itself, not too much wrong with it. It's pretty good to have. But it's nothing to lust after. It's the love of money, the love you have in your heart, the love you allow yourself to get twisted and led into to believe that money is the greatest thing since water. Money is great to have. But what good is money going to do you when you're standing at the judgment bar of God? Money means absolutely nothing to our Lord. He realizes it's something necessary for us to live while we're here. God's the one who will provide for us, even our soul's salvation. In the 11th verse it says, and follow after righteousness, goodness, godliness, faith, love, and patience. And if we follow these six things, we cannot help but to be a much stronger people. We should all fight a good fight of faith. I can't help but believe that we all want to lay hold on eternal life. And this is one of the ultimate goals for us while we're here on this earth. Let me go over, take you over here to, let's see, that's three. To another old time reading, and it's in John, 3rd chapter. Does that sound familiar? Where it's got, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Have you ever heard that quotation before? Well, I'm going to read a little more than just a couple of verses. I want to read, starting with the first verse. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I am going to read all of the words of the Lord. That's it. It goes down through verse 21. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, that no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Excuse me. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it came and whither it go. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we may know that. Excuse me. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witnesses. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, when I used to work for a living. Now I just work. When I used to work for a living, I had a pretty responsible position, and I had to spend a lot of time with a lot of presidents and vice presidents of the company and corporation, and a lot of different salespeople and people that drank a lot. Well, I didn't drink at all. You know, that was a part of my job that I really detested. I didn't really want to do it, and if I could ever brush it off to somebody, I would try to assign it to them, but there's not too many people that I worked with would take it. So I had to go with it. Every one of those places they went into, and this is what I thought about. Every time I went in there, you go into some of these dinner houses. Well, it's a tavern is what it is. They got a good cook in the back, knows how to fry a hamburger. But the feeling that's in there is terrible. And these people stay in there and hide all night long. And that just really upset me. And I knew that Satan was in there working, and I could not wait to get away. I finally got to the point where I would not go. I didn't make too many friends, and I didn't win too many praises, but I sure felt a whole lot better about my soul. But I just couldn't tolerate those places, and I couldn't tolerate what went on. I couldn't tolerate the way the people talked when I was in there, because there's no need for anybody in this world to speak like that. Now, they have their own responsibility, and they have to take care of their lives. I felt like I had a responsibility, and I had to take care of my life. Now, back to my notes. I think these words are very familiar to us. We've heard them talked about for many years. I think maybe I read that. No, I'm in the wrong place. Yeah, here I says, I think this chapter of the Bible has been quoted more often than any scripture. It carries a strong meaning, a message to us. We all know that life is difficult sometimes. Well, we have the Lord to go to. Excuse me. We have the Lord to go to and get help when we feel weak. Remember, God gave his only begotten Son that we should be able to have a chance to enjoy eternal life with him. Think about that. He's always willing to help us. All those who are willing, he's always willing to help all of those who are willing to keep his commandments. There will be there will always be an evil spirit present, doing whatever it takes to tempt those who choose to leave the safety of the Lord and follow after him and his ways. even though we all clearly understand how wrong it can be to do this. Just like the little kitten when he walked out into the interstate highway. Beware. Protect yourself from the vacuum and don't get caught and drawn in away from your protection. And love God. And protection and love God has provided to all of his believers. Because God has given that as a gift to us. He's provided that to us so we can feel his security. And I have felt that several times too. One time when I was flying an airplane. Because I was flying an airplane one time and all of my instruments went dead. And in fact, Mary was steering the airplane. I was just sitting in there just riding. And then, first of all, I looked over there and I had no gasoline. All the gasoline was all gone and all the other gauge was going bananas and my radio didn't work. And I could just think of one thing, and boy, here I am up here at 5,000 feet. I better get a little closer to the ground. Because I didn't know when that thing was going to quit. But we did, we made it home. I had that happen to me twice, as a matter of fact. But we made it home both times. We had never had any difficulties at all. That particular time when we got back on the ground, I still had two tanks of gasoline. I only had flown 30 miles. But my alternator broke. And all of the power in the battery went. But them engines are made to run without batteries. And I'm thankful. I'd like to go over to James, the first chapter. I'm going to break from my usual rule, and I'm going to start with the second verse. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Yeah, see where I'm supposed to read to. Okay. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven in with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because of as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. And the sun is no sooner risen, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. And also shall a rich man fade away in his ways. So money is a temporary thing. If you're rich with money, you're only going to be rich for a while. If you're rich in faith, you're going to be rich forever. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away after his own lusts and enticed. Then when the lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with those with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the words of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The natural response to adversity is to try to escape it. But God uses trouble to mature his people. Remember, the trying of our faith worketh patience. It makes us more patient people. And we go through trials every day, it seems like. And each one of those trials, or as a result of each one of those trials, we're all going to be stronger. If we lack wisdom, we're admonished to ask God. And it'll be given us. But as it says in the sixth verse, we need to ask in faith, like it says in the scriptures. The one whose faith wavers will receive nothing. So you have to have a strong faith and not be wavering. Some are unstable, and the rich shall pass away as the flowers of the grass. And they will. They'll love their money so much that they'll probably take their life. And when we go to the Lord and ask for His help, we need to do it with our faith. When our faith is strong and not be wavering, don't be weak. When you stand up and talk to God, stand up and talk to God. Don't say, well, maybe I ought to, you know, and this, that, and the other. Be strong in your faith. When we go to the Lord and ask Him for His help, we should do so with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. When we have broken one of His laws, we should be strong when we ask for His forgiveness. And when we do that, guess what? He'll forgive us. He says so. Remember that God cannot be tempted of evil. And I've heard people say to the contrary, but He cannot be tempted of evil. This is why we should trust our memory so we may be able to follow His examples, live His kind of life, do the things that He suggested that we do. I can go back to the Book of Mormon. I want to start on page 398. I have just three verses here. That's in the Book of Alma, 14th chapter. Oh, yea, my heart is brim with joy, that I will rejoice in my God. Yea, I know that I am nothing. As to my strength, I am weak. Therefore, I will not boast of myself, but I will boast of my God. For in His strength I can do all things. Yea, behold, many mighty miracles have we wrought in this land of which we will praise His name forever. Behold, how many thousands of our brethren hath He loosed from the pains of hell, and they have brought to sin, and they are brought to sing redeeming love, and this because of the power of His word which is in us. Therefore, have we not great reason to rejoice? I'd say we do. I will boast of my God for His strength, and I can do all things. Just think about that. That should make you feel pretty good, because God is there and He will listen to you and strengthen you. It's most certainly true and should be acknowledged by each one of us. All the strength we receive comes from God. We can't conjure that up ourselves. That's given to us as a gift from God, but we have to earn it. We are weak, but He is strong in all things. And He'll be there for us when we need Him. Go with me now over to Moroni. You'll be able to find this pretty good. It's the last page in the Book of Mormon, page 777. We'll start with the 27th verse. And again, I would exhort you that you should come unto Christ and lay hold upon every good gift, and touch not the evil gifts nor the unclean things. And awake and arise from the dust, O daughter of Zion, yea, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes and enlarge thy borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded, that the covenant of the eternal God which He hath made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in Him. And this is to us. Come unto Christ and be perfected in Him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. In other words, turn your back on it. Walk away from the ungodly things. Cleave to God. Go where He tells you to go and do what He tells you to do. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, you can in no way deny the power of God. And again, if ye, by the grace of God, are perfect in Christ and deny not his powers, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy and without spot. Says to rise above the dust, or rise from the dust. Come unto Christ and be perfect in him, and deny yourselves all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength. I can't think of a better word of advice, and I don't think I could add 2 cents worth to that. That's pretty meaningful. And then this is the exciting part. This is my last reading. I want to go to Mosiah, first chapter, page 216. We're way back in time now. But I think we're right where we need to be, because I think this kind of wraps up some of the things. I want to start with the 96th verse. And the Lord hath heard thy, for the Lord hath heard thy prayers, and hath judged of thy righteousness, and hath sent me to declare unto thee that thou mayest rejoice, and that thou mayest declare unto thy people, that they may also be filled with joy. For behold, the time cometh, and is not far distant, with the power, that with power the Lord omnipotent, who reigneth, which was and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of men, and shall dwell in the tabernacle of clay, and shall go forth among men without working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the blind to receive their sights, and the deaf to hear, and curing all manner of diseases. And he shall cast out devils, or the evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men. And lo, he shall suffer temptation and pain and of body, hunger, thirst, and fatigue, even more than man can suffer, except it be unto death. For behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great shall be his anguish for the wickedness and the abomination of his people. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things from the beginning, and his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh unto his own, a salvation come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name. And even after all of this, they shall consider him a man, and say that he is a devil, and shall scourge him, and shall crucify him. And he shall rise the third day from the dead. And behold, he standeth to judge the world. And behold, these things are done, that righteous judgment might come upon the children of men. For behold, and also his blood atoneth for the sins of those who have fallen by the transgressions of Adam, who have died not knowing the will of God concerning them, or who have ignorantly sinned. History shown that the Son of God was nailed upon a cross and died therefore, for you and for me. He did this for us, so we might be able to spend an eternity with him in heaven. But we have to earn the right to be able to do that. And we can't earn the right if we're not living the right kind of life and doing the right kind of things. And we have to fear temptations, and we have to steer ourselves away from the temptations that Satan lays out in our path. They're big. They're tough. And you have to make some decisions. But you have to make some decisions. Before you make decisions, or if you're confused about them, you're not certain what to do, take it to the Lord. Ask him for help. He's there. All who have sinned against the Lord have a choice to make. In fact, you have two. Whether we should turn away from these sins and temptations and truly give our hearts to God, or to keep his commandments. To keep his commandments, we've received from the Lord, which he has asked for his forgiveness from all wrongs, and with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He's promised it. As if we do that, he'll be there for us. So remember that little cat that got caught in the vacuum. And be cautious when you start making steps, that you're making steps the right direction, that you don't get caught in that vacuum yourself. It nearly cost that little kitten his life. And quite often it does. And with the life goes the soul. So be cautious in what you do. Survey it. Talk to the Lord a lot. And don't get yourself misled. And you have a good day. God bless you, each one. Thank you.